Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen. Amen. Are you happy and you know it? Say amen. 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 Before we get started, great job today. A new song. I like that new song. It's good. I like they're always stretching what they know and always growing. I love that, don't you? Before we start, I want to let you know about Pastor Charlie. He is going to be going, he's going to be going to outpatient rehab this week. So, amen. And I think he's got 3 days this week, and then he starts routinely. But he's been doing home rehab. But now they're going to let him go to outpatient again. He's in outpatient rehab before, but he'll be going up here at the Nautilus. So be praying for him. He's excited about it, and we do believe that he is continuing to heal and be made whole. Amen. Now, I wanted to give you that report, and Brother Doug just came up and whispered in my ear, and he said, "Have them to pray for me. I'm still hurting." He's hurting real bad right now. I see him. Who's been healed lately? Lately, you have been healed. I know one, two, three. All right, y'all three, just come over here and just lay hands on Doug. What you have received, you can give away. So let's join them as they lay hands on him. And because they've been healed, we've been healed, and you can stretch. You know, people say, "Well, why do we stretch our hand?" That's signifying to saying, "I'm laying my hand on you too." So just stretch your hands to him. And in faith and belief, Father, we just ask you now in Jesus' name to touch Elder Doug in his body. Lord, he has pain in his back and the other ailments that he's going through. God, we just ask you now to show yourself powerful by the Holy Spirit. So God, we just ask you now, touch his body throughout his body. Touch every nerve, every blood cell, everything about him, God. We say, be healed in Jesus' name. We ask you to make him whole. Make him complete. Lord, remove this pain from his back and remove the discomfort that he's feeling and everything else that he's going through. And we just say, Doug, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, isn't God good?
He is.
All the time. He's good. He's good. He's good. I'm going to I'm going to start a series today. I really don't know where it's going to go. but here's what I got. Now, next week is Mother's Day, so I got a special treat for you that day. I won't be speaking, but you're gonna hear some great things next Sunday. But I'm going to talk to you about the fall, the freedom, and the fullness. That's just the thing that God gave me. I felt like God gave me, and I said, okay, so the fall, the freedom, and the fullness. And today is going to be more about the fall. And we need to grasp hold of the theology that we have from the Word of God about how the fall happened and what happened. And here's a question. Are we still impacted by the fall? Are we still affected by the fall, the original sin in the garden? Over in Psalms 51:5 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." And he's talking about all of us. See, if we don't really capture the essence of the truth of God's word, we can go through life saying, "I'm not that bad. I'm pretty good. I'm not like other people. You understand what I'm saying? But see, no matter who we are, we came from a broken family. We came from Adam and Eve, a broken family. And we're going to get into that a little bit, but it includes everybody. So we're all born in sin, and we're shaped with iniquity. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world. Sin came in through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men. Did that exclude you and I? No. So it also spread to all of us because of their sin. And verse 19 says, for as through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Some of us, that's a question. Some of us, no, the many, all of us was born that way. Born that way. Why? Because when Adam and Eve fell in the original sin, they became sinners. And we came from them. So we were born in the sin. But that is why God actually brought Jesus through a virgin birth. Not through a man, but through the whole power of the Holy Spirit. And a virgin birth came Jesus. So you begin to understand that, and that's over in 1 Peter 1:23, that we are born of an incorruptible seed. The seed that came into Mary from the Holy Spirit was incorruptible. Incorrupt means it cannot be corrupted. And you were born again from what? An incorruptible seed. Born again. Our human seed was corrupted. Our eternal seed from the Holy Spirit, our eternal life being born again, is incorruptible. It cannot be corrupted. Think about this. You're alive in your spirit. Before you were born again, you were dead in your spirit. You were dead. But when you accepted Christ, said yes to Christ, and he came in and took away your sins, he paid for how many sins? All of them. And he caused you to be a brand new creation, a brand new creature, and you were born again of an incorruptible seed. Cannot be corrupted. Not maybe a little bit. Cannot be corrupted at all. So Adam and Eve was the first family on the earth, and the effects that they had at the fall still hinder us today in some way, one way or the other. Over in Genesis 3, you'll see that they came about. The family in Genesis 4 came their children. And when you see Cain and Abel come in, guess what they were? They were born what? Sinners. Even to the point that Cain killed Abel. Killed his brother. And we're going to get more into that, but I want you to hear that. But at one time before the fall, everybody say before the fall, every person on this earth, which was Adam and Eve, every person on this earth was in perfect relationship with God and each other. Shake your head this way. They were in perfect relationship with God and with each other. After the fall, every person was in a broken relationship with God and with each other after the fall. That's how devastating this was to mankind. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to study this a little bit and get into it to make sure we understand. This is our beginning on this earth. Being born again is our beginning of eternal life. When do you have eternal life? When you die? No, you have eternal life now. You have eternal life right now in your spirit. Your spirit's going to live forever. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that we're already seated with him in the heavens. So, but over in Genesis, it says this in Genesis 3, verse 1, it says, now the spirit was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. So it said he's crafty and he's very deceptive. So that's the first thing in this passage. He's crafty and deceptive. And he says, indeed, is it really true? Indeed, is it really true? That? And he says this, you shall not eat from trees, from any tree in the garden. Well, did he say that? No. He said there's only one tree. He said, you can't eat of any tree. So you begin to see what he's doing. And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden, we may eat. We can eat. We can eat the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree, which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely shall not die. So do you see what's going on here? You surely shall not die. For God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. Your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God. There's already like God. That's created in his image. And he said, you'll be knowing good and evil, which is true. That's the tree of the good and evil. And after he said this, verse 6 says, and when the woman saw, that word there to see, when she saw, it was considered. When the woman considered what was being said, what was being painted by words, she saw that the three things she saw, the tree was good for food. It was delightful to her eyes. And the tree was desirable to make one wise. So when she considered that and she saw that, she took the fruit and ate. That woman. Right? Hang on, man. It's really, really, we're not going to get out of this. She ate it. And she gave also to her husband with her. He's with her. And you have to understand something. His wife is talking to the devil. And he's doing nothing about it. Hint, hint. Men, we have to understand that he was with her. So, and the next three words were, and he ate. The woman was deceived. The man willfully ate. I'll eat that. Through one man, sin entered. So you begin to see here that over in Genesis that all this stuff going on, the enemy cast doubt on God's word. He is doing that today. Did God really say that? Did God really say by his stripes you are healed? Did God really say that? Did God really say he's going to take care of you? All this stuff. So he comes in, he says, did God say this? And then on top of that, he misquoted what God said, absolutely contradicted what God said. The enemy's doing that today. Still doing that today. So we're still being impacted by the fall. Because we live in a fallen world. But we're born again into an eternal, unshakable kingdom. We are kingdom people, not worldly people. We are in this world, but we are not of the world. We're of the kingdom. So this thing about the fall is very important for us to grasp and get a hold of. But he is still doing that today. So you begin to see that she saw these three things. And over in 1 John chapter 2, it says this, chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, everything that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from this world. So you begin to see in Genesis, she saw. She had the lust of her eyes. She saw it was good for food. And then in 1 John says, the lust of the flesh. Then she said it was pleasing to her eyes. It was desirable to her eyes, to be desired. There it is in 1 John, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. And then she said, that fruit will make one wise. And there's the pride of life. So you see, all the way from Genesis, all the way to 1 John, way over here toward Revelation. So 1 John, you begin to see all the way through the enemies at work. The enemy's constantly at work trying to get you and I to doubt God, to be confused over what God said, and actually be confused about the motives of God. Well, he just don't like me. Have you ever heard somebody say that? I have. I've heard somebody say that. God don't like me. I looked at him and I said, he might not, but he loves you. He loves you more than you can ever know. He might not like what you do, but he loves you. So begin to see here that this has happened in the fall. So what effects are we feeling? Well, here's the first one in verse 7. But the eye, once they ate, the eyes of them both were open. The eyes were open. Now, see, but the Bible said she saw, but that word means considered. She considered and she gave attention to what the enemy was saying. How much attention do you give the enemy when he starts talking to you about God? See, that's the question we have to answer. Because she considered it. He may have something here. See, that's how subtle and tricky he is. He'll try to move us in that direction that doesn't belong to God. It said their eyes were opened and they knew that they were naked. Now really, they were naked before that. It's in the Bible says that they were with God and they were naked, but they were unashamed. They didn't know it. You know why? I honestly believe because they were clothed in God's glory. The oneness that they had with him. So they saw that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. So they saw that they were naked. So they got fig leaves, sewed it together. And the Bible says in the next verse, I think it's the next verse, I'm pretty sure it is. But anyway, I won't go there yet. But here's what we need to understand. When you have a warped perception of God and a warped perception of God's word, your response to him and to others will be what? Warped. That's why we really need to know, who is God? Who is he? What did he say? And can you trust him? The answer is yeah. You can trust him. So you begin to see that if you have a warped perception of somebody that's in your family or a neighbor or a worker, if you have a warped perception of who that person is, what's your response going to be? Warped. Because you see them as this way, but they're not that way. You see what I'm saying? So you have that toward people and you can have that toward God. Listen, I grew up in a young, early age. I was born again when I was eight, but I grew up hiding from God. What do you mean hiding? Spiritually, I would be hiding. I wouldn't be hidden. I hid around here. Hiding. Why hiding? Because I was told the perception that I had of God, he's going to get you. God's going to get you. If you don't behave, God's going to get you. But when you know, have you ever been got? I'm going to get you. It's going to be rough. So my perception of God was, he's just looking for the chance to wear me out. And that's going to make him happy. I grew up with that. I don't know about you. I don't know what perception you grew up with God. But that was mine. So let's look at verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden of the cool of the day, and the man and his wife. Notice he said man and his wife. It's important. Man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. They hid themselves among something that he created. It's almost like he'll never find us. He don't know about this grove of trees that he made right over here. He'll never find us. You know, we grow up with that, and we think that sometimes. God will never see it. Oh, yeah. He sees it all. He'll never find us. Oh, yeah, he'll find us. But anyway, you know, the Lord called to the man and said, where are you? Where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. I heard the sound of you walking in the garden, and I was afraid. So you see, shame comes from the fall. We have shame, and then we have fear. And when we have shame and we have fear, what do you think we're going to do? So who said it? Say it out loud. Hide. You're going to hide from God. Have you ever avoided God? Be honest. Has anybody in here ever avoided God sometime in your life? Maybe you messed up or something, and all of a sudden, I better not. I'm not going to go to church this Sunday. Somebody might find out. Well, somebody's already found out. He already knows. So you begin to see that this thing about shame is here. Shame is still here to stay. Shame is here. But here's the thing about it. Do you have shame? Do you have shame? See, shame came into the world through the fall. When sin entered, shame entered on this earth, and fear entered. Verse 21 says, and the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. The fig's leaf wasn't good enough. So he had to sacrifice an animal. He had to what? Shed blood in order to be able to cover their shame. That animal sacrifice, that animal skin that God made for them was a foreshadow of Christ's sacrifice for you and I. It's a type of Christ that we need to see. God's going to take care of you. God's going to provide for you. Over in Isaiah 61:10 says this, I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has clothed me with garments of salvation and has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness. Well, he has clothed me in the garments of salvation. Who's covered me with salvation? God, through Jesus. And then he also said he's wrapped me. Have you ever been wrapped? Have you been wrapped up? Wrapped up in a blanket, just wrapped up, just not clothed, but wrapped. I mean, just round and round, wrapped. He said, the Bible says, he has wrapped us in his righteousness. Does that matter? Absolutely. So you begin to see that the only thing that's going to take care of your shame is his salvation and his righteousness. He said, I'm going to clothe you with one, I'm going to wrap you up in the other. And it'll take care of your shame. Does it remove what we've ever done? No, it doesn't remove that. But what does it remove? Come on now. The shame of it. Listen, did you grow up, or did anybody ever talk? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. That's a bad thing to tell people. You ought to be ashamed. Well, there's a lot of other things that they can be, but shame's not one of them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Shame causes fear, and that causes you to hide. When anything, even with our children, they try to hide what they do because they're ashamed of it to begin with. They don't want you to find out. So you begin to see that this thing about righteousness and salvation is extremely important, and we need to have that doctrine right in our lives. Being born again, you're not to walk around in shame. You're not to walk around in fear. You and I are not to walk around in fear, and we're not people that needs to hide from God. Matter of fact, the New Testament says this. If you're born again, what does he say about the throne of grace? Anybody know? Say it loud. Come how? Boldly, with confidence. When you're born again, he said, you come boldly. You come with confidence. You don't hide. You come boldly to the throne of grace. And you'll find what? Help in your time of need. And he'll give you grace and he'll help you in your time of need. But you have to come how? Confidently and boldly. It's almost like, all right, rest of y'all get out of my way. I'm headed to the throne. Don't hold me up. I'm headed to the throne. Don't try to talk me out of it. I'm headed to the throne. Are you hearing me? Because there's always obstacles along the way. The enemy is there, said, he ain't gonna listen to you. Do you hear? He's always whispering, he's always talking to you about what you've done, how you've done it, and what you did, and you're a Christian. All he wants you to do is consider what he has to say. Let him paint his picture of words and just consider, and when you start considering, you'll see it like he sees it. And then when you begin to see it like he sees it, you'll have fear. You'll have shame. You'll have fear, and you'll hide. As a Christian, I hid from God in a lot of different ways. Y'all heard about me telling you one time, somebody said something about going to a mission field. I'm going to Africa. You want to go? I'm not going anywhere. No, I didn't want to surrender everything I had to God, because as soon as I did that, he's going to send me to Africa, and I don't want to go to Africa. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Why? I believe what the enemy said. Don't sell out to him with everything. Because he might want to get you to do something that you don't want to do. Well, guess what? There's a lot of things that he's told me to do that I didn't want to do. My flesh didn't want to do it at all, but my spirit said, yes, Lord. There's going to be some pain involved in it, but my spirit said, yes, Lord, I'll do that. So that keeps us from being fully committed to God, because we're hiding, and because of the shame, and because of the pain, and because of the fear. Well, what's the next? Well, let me say something about this thing about righteousness. He said he clothes you, he wraps you with righteousness. There's a difference in righteousness and righteous living. He has given you his righteousness. We are the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. That's who we are, the righteousness of God. But we may not be living that way. And he wants us to be able to grow and live in his righteousness and do right. So, but he's got the plan for us. All right, so what's number three? First one's shame, then you have fear, then you hide, and then the next one is blame. The blame came in. The man said in verse 12, man, the woman that you gave me. All of a sudden, in one little sentence, he blames two people. That woman you gave me. So whose fault is it? It's God's. He's blaming God. Blaming the woman, blaming God. I'm sure we have never done that. But it came with the fall. How many of you have ever blamed somebody for something and realized later they really didn't do it? Got six honest people today, but we're working on honesty next week. No, I'm not messing with you. The woman that you gave me, she gave me that from the tree, and I ate it. He owned up to eating it, but he blamed her and him for him eating it. He's still at work, guys. He's still doing that with us today. He's still trying to do that. Then the Lord God looked at the woman and said, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the devil made me do it. The serpent deceived me. So neither one of them owned up to their responsibility. That comes with the fall. You avoid responsibility. The devil made me do it. So whenever you see shows that says, you know, what was that? That was a slogan by somebody. Flip Wilson. Yeah, I remember that. The devil made me do it. I heard somebody say one time, said they ran into the devil, and he was on the sidewalk sitting down crying. I said, why are you sitting down crying? He said, all these Christians are sinning and they're blaming me for it. That's a joke. Bad one, but it's a joke. It's like, okay, well, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't make her. He talked to her. He told her differently than what God said. And she considered it. And then she began to change her frame of reference of how she looked at God. So she wanted to be wealthy. She wanted to be wise. And she wanted to have all. So, and I want to be like God. I want to be like God. I want to be like God. You hear that? And we go through this same thing. See, a distorted view of God. In that distorted view, we will tend to project our flaws, our errors, our sins. We'll reflect that back to him. It's the way you made me. If you would just do right with me and help me like you should, I wouldn't do that. If you would just change a few things for me and help me out, I wouldn't be this. You ever prayed something like this? So Lord, you just get me out of this one, I'll get out of the next one by myself. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's like I'm negotiating with God. Has anybody ever negotiated with God? You know, but God, listen, yeah, I got one honest person. Yeah, if you just let me get by this time, then I'll get by next time on my own. Yeah, right. Not going to happen. So you begin to see that this distortion, this is as a distortion of God and not a description of God. And it's out there all over. Matter of fact, it's not just in his words. Now he is in the process of navigating through AI. Now it's going to be images that's going to distort God. And it won't be God's description. Get ready for it. If you hadn't already seen some of it, it's coming. They're going to give you Christianity in a way that they think it is. More on that coming soon. So then we look at it and say, well, it's not all my. We either say, oh, I see. And Brenda's heard this. So I see now, Brenda. It's all my fault. I'm sure none of you have ever told your spouse that. So it's all my fault. Well, no. See, if it's not her fault, it has to be my fault. And see, here's the thing about it. The fault is that our, not mine, not hers, our failure to listen to God when God is speaking or God has already spoken. That's the fault. It's not the doing. It's the fault of not listening to God. We're considering something. Has anybody ever considered what the devil said about something and you did it? Two people, three, four, five, six. If I wait long enough, everybody's going to raise your hand. No, but I'm messing with you. But see, the thing is, so there's not a single person in here that has been perfect since they've been a Christian. True? That's the reason we need his righteousness. His righteousness is our right standing with God. Wrapped. Our right living with God comes out of our obedience. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. We're going to fall flat on our face sometimes. And we'll deliberately do things. People, you know, man, I was talking to a pastor one time, and he said, you know, somebody said something. Well, we all sinned, and yeah. He said, yeah, but I do it by accident. That's what the pastor said, and I looked at him and I said, really? He said, yeah, don't you? And I said, sometimes, most of the time it's on purpose. What do you mean on purpose? Most of the time I know it, I shouldn't do it, but I do it anyway. That's not my way of living, but I have lived in moments of that pressure of whatever, and then all of a sudden we cave in. So we need to say this thing about blame. Blame is there and blame is real. And I've got to close. I want to get to something else before we close. But you begin to see that this thing of blame happens. And over in Revelation chapter 12, 10, he said, the salvation has come. The power of God has come. The kingdom of God has come. And the authority of Christ has come. For the accuser of, watch this word, not the brethren, our brethren, the accuser of our brethren had been thrown down. Accuser, blaming. Another word for blame is accusing. When you and I start blaming or accusing somebody, we're cooperating with the action of the enemy. It still affects us today. So you begin to see that this word accuse means to accuse or to blame with condemnation. We condemn, we judge and condemn when we blame. Yeah, and I'm telling you right now, there is a ton of blame going around blaming it in the body of Christ. They did this, they did this, they did this, he did that, she did this, they did that. And listen to me, all of them, if we're not careful, if it's not in love and redemption, we will quickly navigate ourselves to malicious gossips. You know what slander is? Telling the truth with an intent to hurt. That's slander. You, telling the truth about somebody with an intent to hurt. So all of a sudden you see this. And all of a sudden we're just sharing information. We're not trying to help the person. Probably hadn't even prayed for the person. Do you hear what we're saying here? That's not the Christian way. It isn't the Christian walk. That is not how we're supposed to do this. So we need to understand that. Number four, and this is the last one, it is fame. This thing about fame, it's a desire and a need of recognition. to be acknowledged. Well, how does that come out? Verses 14 through 19, God begins to tell them about the consequences of their sin. He tells Satan, he tells the woman, and he tells the man the consequences of their sin. And when he stops, the very next verse in verse 20 says, now, okay, he's talked, we know we've fallen, and now he's talking about the consequences. He tells the consequences, and right when he finishes the consequences, verse 20 says this, now, the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Now, you're going to say, well, Alex, what's the big deal with that? Why is that? Why is that bad? Well, let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. You remember what he says after, you know, God said, man shall not live, he can't live by bread alone, but he said, it's not good for man to be alone. You remember that? And he put him to sleep and took his rib and made a woman. You remember, listen, this is the difference. Here's the change. See, Genesis 2 was before the fall. What did Adam say? Wow, this is woman, because she came from me. She is what? She is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She's part of me. She's my partner. We're one. We're together. Do you hear that? That was before the fall. My goodness. She's all this. What's the problem? Verse 20 says, now, this is after the fall, he calls his wife Eve. Eve means life. So not only does he call her, God didn't name her Eve. Adam did. And Adam did it when he was a sinner. So what's he saying? You bring forth life. Your life. What's he saying to her? Your purpose is to give me children. So now he labels her with purpose. Do you see that? Your purpose is to bring me children. Give me children. Now, does she bring children? Absolutely. But is that her purpose? Listen, I know. Next week is Mother's Day, a wonderful day, a great day, a day that only God can bring forth life. And all the women that are mothers, you are extremely special in the fact that you brought forth life from God. Extremely special. But I'm here today telling you today that this thing about this competition and comparison is after the fall. It wasn't before the fall. So I'm here to tell you, ladies, you mothers, and everybody, but I'm here to tell you today, that is not your biggest purpose and calling in God. It's not. It's a great purpose. But it's not your highest. You know what your highest calling is? Being a child of the living God and being conformed to the image of his son. That's your highest calling. That's our highest calling. Highest calling. All of us. And here's why I say that. If you are a born-again child of God and you are in your walk in the process of being transformed into the image of Christ, you're going to be the mother that you're supposed to be to those children. And it doesn't stop the mothers. Fathers, listen to me. If you're a born-again Christian, if you're a child of God and you are on your way to be conformed like Jesus, then you're going to behave and you're going to do the best thing that you can do for your children as a husband and as a father. That's going to come out of that. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not just motherhood. Motherhood is good. Motherhood has a reason and it has a purpose, but it's not your highest. Your highest is to become a child of the living God and to become like Jesus Christ. Amen? And that is so true. And we all need to understand that, that she has a purpose. Let me tell you about God named it over in Genesis chapter 5. It says, verse 1 and 2 said, in the day that God created man in the likeness of God, he made him male and female, created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. He called their name Adam, which means mankind. Doesn't mean man, it means mankind. So we can't begin to take this stuff and begin to compare ourselves to one another. But see, Adam made it clear to Eve, you're distinct, you're different from me, and you have a purpose, and your purpose is to bring forth life, bring children to me. That's the name of Eve. Don't minimize people with what you think God's calling them to do. He said, the Bible tells us, do not compare yourselves or measure yourselves one with the other. It is wrong. It's not the Bible. It's over in 2 Corinthians. It's not the Bible to do that, to measure yourself. It's unfair. It's inaccurate. It's judgmental. When you compare, see, when you begin to compare yourself with other people, guess what starts happening? Envy. I've got to work hard. I've got to do something about this. See, don't do that. Don't be like everybody else. Be what God says for you to be. Even churches, don't be like everybody else. Be what God says you to be. And when we do that, the glory of God is going to fill us all, and we're going to be doing everything that God wants us to do. You know, God tells us that he said over in Acts chapter 3, he said, with Abraham, he said, the families that come out of you, and we're from Abraham, you'll be blessed. And the reason you're going to be blessed is because he is going to bring you to the place of leaving your iniquities. That's Acts chapter 3, verse 20, 25 and 26. Leaving your iniquities. So what do we do about this? How do we take care of the shame? How do we take care of all this stuff? It's going to be Jesus Christ. Being wrapped, being clothed on the rock, being in him and him being in us, and us on a forward journey of becoming like Jesus. And we'll fulfill every obligation that God ever puts upon us. And we'll do it in his glory and for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. God bless you. I hope you got something out of it. Come on up, Terry and Pastor Terry, and talk to us.
Great word. Amen. Real quick on the announcements. We have VBS coming up, and enrollment is going on right now. So get your phones out real quick. Everybody get your smartphones out. And you can either take a picture of that, or you can scan it right now and check in. And my wife wanted me to really make it clear that this year we have middle school. Is that right? Middle school that we haven't had heretofore. We've not been able to service that particular age group. And this year we have middle school and from 3 years old up to middle school. And she wanted to make it clear that three-year-olds needed to be potty trained. Now, the volunteers, you don't have to be potty trained. But the three-year-olds, apparently.
But it is helpful.
Has to be. It is helpful. It's very, very helpful. If that could take place. So go ahead and scan in. That'll take you to a page. And there'll be a little blue bar there. It says register. Click there and register now while seats are still available.
Amen. Pray.
Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for this word, God, that you have given us to help us better understand what you have done for us because of what we have come from. And Lord, we ask you right now that you would continue to give us the grace to walk in abundance and in victory and understanding who we are in you, Lord, that we wouldn't compare ourselves to one another's, Lord, that we would go boldly into the throne room, not with any shame on us, because, Lord, you've taken our shame, God. And, Lord, that we can do all things through you because you are strengthening us with your grace and your mercy. And we ask you throughout the week, that this week, that when we come encounter with people, that we'll have the grace and the words on the tip of our tongues that will set people free, and that we'll be instruments of grace and the highways and the byways in our schools and our work and in our family. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.